It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we are keeping an eye on what's going on in the baseball playoffs. The Mets just put up a 5 spot in the top of the fifth inning. They've taken an 8-4 lead in Milwaukee. What an interesting series that is. David Stearns, who led the Brewers and built what they really are now, is now the president of baseball operations for the Mets. And that's a scary team in the future if you believe in David Stearns. So we'll watch this series and this game today. Right now, very happy to welcome on to the program. He is our friend Bernie Miklas. And before we even start with Bernie, just want to let you know, he, along with I and Tom Ackerman and Kevin Wheeler, we did a video earlier today. You can find it on our YouTube page, KMOX Sports, on the KMOX Sports Twitter page, where we really broke down a lot of what was said in the press conference yesterday. It was a lot of fun. I think the content and the information is fantastic, and would encourage you to go check that out for yourself. Bernie, appreciate you being with us again. Fun to talk to you for a second time. And like I just said, that was a really good conversation we had earlier today.
I had so much fun, and it left me like looking forward to the next time we do it. It was great. It was outstanding, and I'm not just saying it because I was on it. I was looking at all you guys while we're doing the live stream, and I see everybody smiling, everyone in a good mood, because you could tell everybody was enjoying it.
This shift for the organization where they're handing player development off to Chaim Bloom, and eventually they're going to hand the whole baseball operations, but let's just talk about the next year for a minute or so. As they redo player development under Bloom, how key is this for the long-term health of the organization?
It's huge, and I was doing some research today, and a couple things really quick. You know, when when Chaim Bloom had a huge role in the Tampa Bay player development system and their model, in his prime years there, the Tampa Bay Rays, pitchers age 25 and younger, they were number one in the majors in wins above replacement. And then hitters, position players, age 25 and younger, they were number six or number seven. And then when you go to Boston, when he took over the Red Sox, as he was entering the job, they had the worst farm system in baseball as rated by Baseball America. And by the time that he left, going into 2024, they had the 10th best farm system. And in August, Baseball America put him at the number three farm system. So everywhere he has been, he has had the magic touch with drafting player development minor leagues. It's an excellent track record, and I think it's going to help the Cardinals in the long run a lot. And I think it's going to get Bill DeWitt fired up too, because Bill DeWitt loves player development. I don't know why they got away from it. But those two guys, Bloom and Bill DeWitt Jr., are a good fit because they both share a passion for player development and for having a great minor league system.
Do want to remind folks that Bernie's appearance is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, and American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. More on that with Bernie in just a moment. I want to throw this at you. You and I think are very like-minded on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You wrote yesterday that essentially it would have been a better move to move John Mozeliak to the side for the next year. Maybe not let him exit the organization, but just give the whole thing to Chaim Bloom now. And I want to push back on you a little bit for one specific reason. I want to see Bloom be singularly focused as much as possible on fixing this player development system and not being bogged down by all these other things. We know that for what that major league roster may look like next year, it might not be an impactful roster depending on what they end up doing in terms of lowering payroll. I think having Mo stick around for a year to allow Chaim 1 year of implementing everything he wants to implement and not having him torn in all these different directions brings some value to what he's going to do. Agree or disagree with my take there?
No, I think it's a legitimate view. I was looking at this from a standpoint that it's going to be it's not my job, of course, to tell the fans what to do or how the Cardinals to match repair their relationship with the fans. But I think as long as Mo's front and center, you know, it's going to be kind of a drag on thing. Heck, he even makes jokes, self-deprecating jokes about how unpopular he is. But, you know, thinking about this, there's two things that where I would go along with this, because again, I keep an open mind on these things. Number one benefit is that even though he'll be immersed in the minor leagues, and I agree with you, that is a time-consuming, that is an all-in type of project. So I'm going to look at it from that standpoint. He can do a lot of good with a very, very important job tasked to him by Bill DeWitt. But he'll also still have time to really get the lay of the land, not just in the minor leagues. He'll know everyone who's working in the front office. He'll know who does what. Why they do what they do, whether they need to have better people in those jobs. He can still simultaneously get a better feel for the organization as a whole. And then when he does take over, unlike in Boston, when he kind of crash landed and had very little time to prepare and to sort of get to know everything there, he will have had a year, actually 2 years, to just become fully assimilated in every aspect of the Cardinals organization. That's number one benefit. And the second one, and I think there's a lot of truth to this, is that if the Cardinals have to make some unpleasant decisions, if they do go and slash payroll, if they make some unpopular moves, well, it's better for John Mozeliak to take the heat, to take the arrows, to take the beating on those things. Then Heim Bloom can come in a year from now and he'll be viewed as the guy riding in to rescue the Cardinals, if you will. Like, he'll get a clean start. And none of the stuff that happens in 2025, if it's bad, will be blamed on him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Heim's legacy in Boston, I think this is completely unfair. His legacy in Boston is he's the guy who traded Mookie Betts. He would not then come in into St. Louis as the guy who traded Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, any of the above.
No, that's right. And here's the way my brain works, maybe to my own detriment, because in today's culture, you have to be this all or nothing guy. You know, it's all black or white. There's no gray area. I just can't operate like that. Here's the way I look at it. I may have felt strongly that it would have been in Bill DeWitt's best interest to move Heim Bloom into the big chair right now. But once a decision is made, and I've already said what I thought, it really doesn't matter what I think. Now I want to analyze it based on how it really is going to be. And to kind of move forward on that, because I've done all the hollering, so to speak, on that I needed to do. And there's really no point in hollering about it anymore. So let Heim Bloom do his job. Let him rekindle Bill DeWitt's love for the farm system and player development, which used to be a passionate thing for Bill DeWitt. And I think he wants to get that back. I think Heim Bloom and Bill DeWitt Jr. are a really good match. Unlike Heim Bloom and the owner in Boston, who was volatile and stormy and changing his mind all the time. The one thing, I know people are down on Bill DeWitt or whatever, but the one thing about him is you can say he's steady and he's stable. He's not a knee-jerk guy. He doesn't fly off the handle. There's a methodology to the way he has run the Cardinals. And in case people, you know, kind of have forgotten, you know, from 2000 through 2015, they won more postseason games and competed in more postseason games than any team in the majors to go along with 2 World Series, 4 National League pennants. I don't scrub history just because they've had a few bad years or a few disappointing years. I mean, Bill DeWitt knows what he's doing. He got away from some of the things that were working, and that's his fault. But now I think he's recommitted to sort of reestablishing the farm system as the beacon of the organization.
I am curious because they know that bringing Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak back, that there's going to be a percentage of the fan base that won't buy tickets, that won't show up to games, especially at the beginning. And if they're not winning, this organization has to be prepared for that type of year next year, knowing that you have to deal with that to eventually get to where you want to be again.
No, I agree with you. Listen, they're just going to have to take the heat. They're going to have to, you know, feel the frustration and feel there's going to be some more pain involved here, frustration on the Cardinals' end. But they kind of got themselves into this, so they're going to have to figure out a way to get themselves out of this. It's not going to be an easy year for them in 2025 because there are so many unhappy people, and the Cardinals need to sort of rebuild their trust with the fan base and rebuild their credibility with the fan base, the people that are really been out of shape about this. And I would never question anybody for being angry. They're the customers. They're the fans. It's their money. It's their time. Just as I would never encourage fans not to go to games. I mean, everybody spend the money the way you want to. It's your decision. If you want to go to the ballpark, go to the ballpark. If you want to stay home, stay home. You know, I make my own decisions. Matt Pauly makes his own decisions. So I don't dictate what people should do, but it's going to be a tough road for them. And, you know, and Ali Marmol's problem, his main problem is that close association with John Mozeliak. He'll always be viewed as Mo's guy. I talked to Ali about that during the season. I said, you know, you're in a tough spot here because no matter what you do, if you do a heck of a job managing the team, you have a good season. What are people? There's going to be a lot of people because they're down on Mo are going to be down on you by extension. And he just kind of laughed. He said, I hear you. So the only thing I'll say, I have no problem with him coming back because for the same reason we talked about Heim Bloom, and it's not bad for him to have a year in the minors putting that together. Because a year from now, we don't know where the Cardinals will be or what they'll be inclined to do. And I think in a year of uncertainty that's about to transpire in 2025, it's okay to have Ali Marmol manage the team because after that, who knows? The Cardinals may go in a different direction. But they did win 83 games, and people say, well, you want to have a parade over that? No, I don't want to have a parade over that. But they should have won 76 games compared, you know, based on their run differential. And I would like to remind people that the 2006 Cardinals won 83 games, and they had future Hall of Famers on that team, and we all know what happened there. So this year, from holding the manager accountable standpoint, he would be way down on the list of people that I would hold accountable for the fact that they didn't make the playoffs. And one thing, too, and I'm sorry for the long answer, the one thing I've never understood and I won't accept is that if we as a group of people and fans and media people are going to fault the Cardinals for the rosters that they've put together and the flaws that they've put together and they've had to wing it to put together a rotation and this and that and this and that. Well, if we all think it's a flawed roster and the front office has not done a good job, then why in the heck would we blame the manager for not winning more than 83 games or so? Like, you can't have it both ways. It's either the roster or you think the manager's terrible. You can't have it both ways. You can't complain about the roster and then turn and say, well, Ali Marmol should have won 87, 88, 89 games. You can't have it both ways. Sorry.
Bernie, we always appreciate your time. Can you tell us a little bit about Saliga Heating and Cooling?
Yeah, I need to cool down now, so that's good, right? Now, Saliga Heating and Cooling, listen, we have been a Saliga family for the last 15, 16 years, and we're part of the tradition of Saliga Heating and Cooling. It's an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. It's been serving St. Louis families generations since 1927, going on fast approaching 100 years, and the same family, the Saligas, continuously have owned it since 1927. And Dan Saliga is the fourth generation owner-operator. The standards remain very, very high. They have helped us in many jams, many emergencies, new equipment, problems that we don't understand. You call there at Saliga Heating and Cooling. You talk to a real person. They don't give you the runaround. They're prompt when they say they're going to be at your home. They're classy in your home. There's no fast talking. There's no upselling. There's no hustle. They are honest as it possibly could be in terms of the highest standard of integrity. That's my experience with Saliga for the last 15, 16 years, and my wife feels the same way. So they do all kinds of work, residential, commercial, you name it, all makes and models, and they have that great American Standard heating and air conditioning equipment. So I'll be quiet about it other than to give you the phone number, 314-481-7333, 481-7333, and go to the site for more info, saligaheatingandcooling.com. Thank you, Matt.